Daf Lamed Vav. So yesterday in the bottom of Lamed Hey, we were talking about Gemara had raised the question of when it came to removing the fruits that were being dried on top of, on the rooftop, how many fruit were you allowed to bring? And the Gemara initially had brought an equation to the lachos of Shabbos that you're able to move four or five boxes to make space for the bit the base medrash and the orchim. So the Gemara initially wanted to make that comparison, just like four or five boxes was good enough for Shabbos, so too for removing the fruit on Yom Tov. And the Gemara made a few distinctions in either direction. On one point, it was saying, no, Shabbos is better. Maybe only Shabbos we have the Eseterim and bit the base medrash. Alternatively, maybe no, Hefsin Mammon and Yomtif warrant even more than four or five boxes. That was one question. Now, the Gemara never answered the question. Gemara in today's daf is going to raise three other questions connecting or comparing and contrasting Shabbos to Yomtif. So that's on the top now of Daf Lamed Vav. The Gemara says, Hasam Tanan, over there with regards to removing the four or five boxes for Shabbos purposes of Bita Beis Medrash. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, Avalo es ha'otzer. So if you're removing the boxes, there is a threshold. If you're going to empty out the entire storage house, and it's going to be clean of all the boxes now, meaning let's say I've got four or five boxes in my otzar. I said, I want to have a shear here. Let me move the boxes out. But those four or five boxes that empty my entire storage house out, that you can't actually do. Why not? So Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, my aval lo asa otzer. What does it mean not to clean out the entire otzer of all the boxes on Shabbos? Aval lo yigmar es haotzer kulo. Don't empty out the entire otzer. Why? Dilma asi la shvuya gumos. Because if you empty it out, you're going to say, oh, wait a second, I've got a little bump here, a little hole there. Let me even out the floor. And because of that gzeri, you might end up evening out the dirt floor. They say, don't empty out the entire otzer. So now the Gemara wants to know, while that's true, the Gabi Hilcha Shabbos, if that were to be the case by Yontif, would we have the same restrictions of not emptying out an Otzer or not? So Hachamai, what do we say? Hasim over there, who b'Shabbos d'Aser, mishum d'chamir. By Shabbos, where Shabbos is more severe, so we have more restrictions, so maybe there you can't empty out the Otzer. Aval Yomtiv dekil, shaper dami, but Yomtiv has more leniencies, the Ochal Nefesh being the primary leniency. Maybe we would allow one to empty out the Otzer entirely by Yomtiv. Oh, Dilma, perhaps, maybe the opposite. Hasim diko bito beis medrash amrislo. There, because of the great need of giving a shear, so we allow you, we say, even in the face of bito beis medrash, there's a limit. You can't empty out the entire otzer. Hacha, to leka bito beis medrash here, where the need is not as great, it's not bito beis medrash, lo kol shekin, certainly you should not be able to empty out the entire otzer. So that's another question the Gemara doesn't answer. Third question the Gemara raises, v'hacha, tanan, here, we have the Mishnah, that says, Mashilin Peiros Derech Aruba B'Yomtov. Yesterday's Daf, yesterday's Mishnah, you're allowed to lower the fruits through the skylight and your rooftop into your house. So the Gemara's Medayik, Rav Nachman's Medayik, Amar Rav Nachman, Lo Shanu Ela B'Oso Agag, only on that same roof, from your roof to your house would be allowed. Aval Migag L'Gag, from one roof to an adjacent adjacent roof, Lo, you're not allowed to start moving to other rooftops. V'Tanya Nami Hachi, the Brayis reiterates this point, even if the rooftops are equal, they're touching each other, like two buildings are touching each other, you can't move from one rooftop to the other rooftop, that's all on Yontif. So that's by Yontif. Hasamai, what about Lagabe Shabbos there? What would the din be? So Gemara skipping the parentheses, and Hacha here, who da'asar, Mishim Yomtov Dekil Vasilazuze Be. Here, since Yomtov has more leniencies, there's also a concern of people being mezalzel, so we have more restrictions. So that's why you can't move from one rooftop to another rooftop. Aval Shabbos Dechamir, where Shabbos is intrinsically more severe, for Vasilazuze Be, people won't desecrate it. Shaper Dami, maybe by Shabbos we would be able to move the fruit from one rooftop to another rooftop. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps. Here, where there's a great need, where we're protecting a loss of money of the fruits, and yet we still don't allow you to move from one roof to another roof, Hasam Deleka Hefsid Peretz there, by Shabbos, there's no concern of Hefsid Mammon there, Lo Koshikin, certainly we should not allow a person to move from one rooftop to the other rooftop. So that's a third question still not answered yet by the Gemara. So something else, right? If I allow this, then in general, I'll be mezalzel Shabbos overall. Right? So then here, hacha here, Tanya, the Brayser says, lo yishal shleim b'cheva b'chalos. A person should not lower the fruit here by yomtif with ropes to go down a window. V'lo yoridim derech sulamos, or not to take them down by ladders. The only heter is to drop them through the roof, but not by ladders or by windows. So that's by hilchas yomtif. Hasam maya there by Shabbos. What would the halacha be? Do we say hacha here? b'yomtov hu da'aser d'leka bita beis medrash b'yomtov. It's not a concern of bita beis medrash, and therefore we don't allow you to lower them through ladders or windows. For Shabbos diko bita beis medrash, where there's a great need of bita beis medrash to create more room, maybe shaper dami, maybe dami, maybe we allow you to lower the boxes through windows and through ladders. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps Hacha, I have payrolls, I'm slow here, where there's a big concern of loss of money, and even though that's the case, we still don't allow you to load them through windows and ladders. So the Hasam over there by Shabbos, Aleka, Hefsid Peros, there, where there are no issues of Hefsid Mammon, Lokoshi, and certainly we will not have any leniency. So these are four questions raised by the Gemara, one yesterday, three today, to compare and contrast Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the Gemara ends off with a teiku. We don't have any answers. So bottom line, how do we paskin? So there's a machlokas between the Baal Mor and the Ravid. How to paskin the guy with these four different shilas? The Baal Mor says from yesterday's daf where Reb Yochanan was the one who made that initial equation of the peros to the boxes of Shabbos. So just like he was makel by he used a definition of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and he was makel. So too, that would be the same here as well. He was makel lagabi all these questions. That's the Baal Mor's understanding. The Ravid says, no, Rabbi Yochanan was only weighing in on that first case of using Shabbos the Yom Tov and moving the boxes of Bita Beis Medrash. Lagabi, the last three questions, it's completely different to that type of Shaila. And therefore, he says, we're machmir and not to machmir by the last three Shailas. Okay. The Gemara now says, quotes from yesterday's Mishnah, Mechasin es aperos. So one of the other ways you could protect the fruits that were drying on top of the rooftop when you see the rain clouds coming is you could cover them up. You could lie cloths on top of them or kalim on top of the fruit. So Gemara says, Amar Ula, v'yafilo avira delivne, even some bricks. So Rashi explains here, around 10 narrow lines down, v'yafilo avira delivne levenim, bricks. You have some bricks lined up, you know, when people are, construction sites and you have houses being going up, and they're a layer of bricks. You have a layer of bricks that are designated for the house. And the rain is beginning to start drizzling. You don't want the bricks to get all ruined. So then, I guess the bricks are a little bit different than ours. You're allowed to take clay kalim, blankets or whatever, and a tarp, and put it on top of the bricks to protect it from the rain. We don't say, well, since the tarp isn't muksa, the bricks are muksa. We don't say, you can't use the tarp for a muksa item. We don't say that, meaning you're allowed to. I'm not moving the bricks. I can move a non-muksa item for the benefit of a muksa item. That would be allowed. And we'll see that's in contrast to the next opinion. So again, Ula says you're even allowed to, even though the Mishnah says you're allowed to cover peros, Ula says you're even allowed to cover bricks, which are muksa. Comes along now Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, peros haruyin. He says, not true. You're only allowed to use, let's say a tarp to cover fruit or other things that are edible that are not muksa. But to cover a muksa item, that would not be allowed. The Ozda, Rabbi Yitzchak letame, it's Rabbi Yitzchak leshita also. Damer Rabbi Yitzchak, ein kli nital elo ledavar hanital b'shabbos. One kli can only be moved and used for another kli, another non-muksa item. But to use it for a muksa item, Rabbi Yitzchak holds, would be usser. Why would it be usser? So a different pshat, and the pasuk pshat is, that's called muksa. I mean, even though this tissue isn't muksa, but I'm using it to cover bricks, that makes my moving of this tissue, that's actually considered muksa. That's the simple understanding of Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak. So Gemara now says, Tanan, quotes from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah clearly says, Mechasin es aperos bekalim, peros in avir delivnei lo. If it's true that bricks, you can even carve bricks, the Mishnah should have taught that Kiddush. The fact that it only says fruits tells me only fruits are allowed, not other muksa items, not muksa items. Mar says, no, not true. Lo, that's not a correct dik. Hu adin deafilu avir delivnei. You're allowed to even cover up bricks and other muksa items. So why did the Mishnah only specify fruits? The idea, the Tana Reisha, Mashilin Peros, since the Reisha was talking about lowering fruits from the rooftop, which is a more common case, so then, Tana Seifa Nami Mechas is a Peros, the Mishnah wanted to stay on topic to say covering fruits. But Ein Hachanami, you could cover bricks and anything else you wanted as well. So Gemara says, Tanan, the Mishnah says, V'chein Kade Yayin, V'chein Kade Shemen. So doesn't it mention here as well, it gives other examples. The Mishnah says, not only can you cover fruit, but you could even cover pitchers and jugs of oil, of wine. Why not also say covering bricks? So it's not just giving Peros as one example, it goes beyond that one example. Where it says, no, halcha b'mayaskinan b'tivla. We're not talking about the oil or wine that you could drink or eat. We're talking about it's still tevel. Tevel we know is muksa. So tevel is muksa, and yet still you're allowed to cover it up. So too huadin when it comes to covering bricks. And hachanami mesaver, it's also very sensible to say that we're talking about tevel. If we're talking about oil and wine that's completely permitted to drink and use, hatani the reisha. We already learned from the reisha peros that fruit are allowed. So kad yain mekadisha. So what's the need to teach me these other examples of fruit? Isn't yain and shemen in essence fruit? So Gemara says no. Kad yain mekadisha shemen itzrichlei. You need to teach these cases as well. We're talking about shemen and yain that are a mutter. So why mention it? We already taught peros because sakadat dechamin. I would have thought lehefsid meruba chashishu lehefsid muat lo chashishu. Maybe the only heter moving fruits around and covering fruits would only be if there's a great hefsid, hefsid meruba. I've got a ton of figs, a ton of grapes lying on top. If the rain comes, they're all going to be ruined. That's a big hefsid. But apparently the loss of the yayin or shemen get rain in it, it's not a heavy loss. And maybe that would not be a heter. Kamash malan, even that which is a hefsid muat, even a small loss, such as kad yayin, the kad shemen, would also be bichlal, the heter of covering them up. And the Gemara therefore has no raya either way, whether it's talking about only that which is heter or even that which is muksa. Before you go ahead, look at Tosas on top here, the top Tosas b'tivla. So we said tevel is muksa, and yet you could still cover it. That was the understanding of Ula. So ask Tosas v'im tomar, tevel is a muksa. Ha'amino le'el, we saw 2 days ago, b'sof ha'mevi, the tevel muchanu, that tevel is considered muchan, the gabe Shabbos, in that Shimover v'tikno masukan. If one had been mafresh chumas amaisos, it's effective and you can eat it. So it's not really muksa. How could the Gemara here call tevel muksa? Ubeper kira as well, Gemara Shabbos, nami lo tish lo chashri le bevata kli mechano. If a person puts tevel in a kli, so if I put a muksa item, if I put a brick in a kli, that kli is no longer usable because it's a brick in it now. That's mevata kli mechano. If I put tevel in a kli, we don't view that as being mevata the kli because tevel is a muksa. Kevin the Chazuk, since tevel is actually fit, if one were to separate chuma. In Cain, akati tikshir le tevel ein avir the livnei in avir the livnei lo. Meaning, maybe only tevel you could cover up because tevel isn't really muksa. But maybe by bricks, which is real, full-fledged muksa, maybe you can't cover that up. So answers tells us, v'yei shlomar, du'ula amar lacha d'mikol makom chashiv le kedavar sheinu nitel. Even though you're right, tevel can be fixed b'dievet. But so long as it's not fixed, it's called taking an item, taking a cloth, taking a tarp, and covering a muksa item that's still considered the same category as muksa. Kevin de b'Shabbos mi lo chazi. Since on Shabbos I'm not really allowed to separate it, kol kama de lo tikne. So long as I didn't separate, it wasn't mafresh. Asa l'fanosa b'Shabbos. Therefore, it's considered muksa, and it's a good riot. So he's walking a fine line here, whether tevel is muksa, tevel is not muksa. It's a quasi muksa, it seems, according to Tosfos. Back inside the Gemara. Gemara says, Tanan, our Mishnah taught us yesterday as well, Nosin kli, tachas adilaf b'Shabbos, you're allowed to put a kli, a pot or pan, underneath a leak. If there's a leak in the house, you could catch it. So now, isn't a dilaf, it's a muksa, right? Rain is muksa, isn't rain muksa? So the Gemara says, happens to be the Gemara says, it's not really muksa. Gemara Erevin says, it's not nola, it's not muksa, but I wouldn't drink that. Gemara says, no, we're talking about the particular type of rain, that b'dilaf haroi, Rashi's haroi lebehema. If I've got a dog that would lick and drink the water, that's not called muksa. But einachanabi, if it's water that's dirty that no one would drink, that even an animal wouldn't drink, it would be muksa and it would be a problem. So Tashma Lagmar brings another ayah. Porsin machatzelas agavi levein b'Shabbos. So you're allowed to spread a mat over bricks. So isn't that a clear ayah for ula that you can move something for a muksa item, bricks or muksa? To which Rav Yitzchak answers, no, da yaser mi binyane, de chazal le mizgayalai, which we've seen before, that these are leftover bricks. I finished my house is done. These are a few extra bricks, big bricks I can lie down on. I can make a little couch or something, sit down, lie down on. It's usable, and therefore it's not considered muksa. So Tashma, the Gemara brings another raya, porcin machatelas al gabi avanim, I could cover rocks. Rocks is certainly muksa, right? So we see it's a raya for ula. Well, it says, no, we're talking agavi avanim b'Shabbos. Mar antes b'avanim merkuzolos dechazin lebeis akisei. These are special rocks that are considered like toilet paper on Shabbos, and therefore they're not considered muksa. The Tashma, the Gemara goes further. Porsin machatzelos agavi kaveres divorim. You're allowed to take a mat and cover up a bee's nest, a honeycomb of some sort, b'Shabbos. Bechama mipnei achama ubuksham mipnei agshama. You could cover them up in the sun in the summer months from the heat, and in the rainy season from the rain. You're allowed to cover them up. So bilvad shlish kaven letzut, as long as you don't have in mind to catch the bees. So we say, see that the honeycomb, a nest, is a mux, isn't it? And yet we still see we could cover something on top of the nest. So you'll have to move something for a mux item. Well, it says, no, hasam nami, dikadvash. A bee's nest is not empty, it's not mux, it's honey. Honey is roi l'achila, and therefore you're covering it up, you're moving it for a non-mux item, for achila, for the dvash. So amrele rav ukva mimeshan l'ravashi, hatinach bimos hachama, this makes sense, in the summer months, dikadvash, that's when the bee's nests are active and there's honey. But be most like shum in my eklamemra. But the rainy season, the winter, there are no bees around. There's no honey to get, and therefore the Gemara says you'll have to cover it. Bein be yomosachama, bein be most like shumim. But there's no honey during the rainy season. So what's the heter? Must be you'll have to cover them up, even if there's no honey. Gemara says no. Lo nitzucha ella losan shtei chalos. What are two chalos? They used to leave, two lines of the bees nest or the honeycomb. They leave them during the rain season to keep the bees alive. So next season, the bees will produce again. So they remained there with honey. The bees stayed inside this little honeycomb for 6 months of the winter. And then they came out and created and generated more honey in a bigger honeycomb. So those two honeycombs that were left there for the rain season. Where I said, wait a second, but Osan Shtei Chalos, Muxa, saying they're Muxa, aren't they Muxa? Where I says, no, Hacha B'maskina D'chashiv Alem, that you were a machshiv of them, meaning there was honey that was there, but you were a machshiv of them, that if you look at Rashi says here, he says, Chashiv Alem La'adam, even though the honey that remains in these honeycombs are for the bees, to keep them alive and survive for the rainy season, for the winter season, but I was machshiv of them, I want to also take some honey in the rainy season, and therefore it's considered achilas adam, it's not muksa, and that's why you have to cover it even in the winter. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, of alo chashiv lehem, my asr, but if you were not chashiv, meaning if you were not achshiv they, for the honey for you to eat, then ein echadami would be asr to cover these honeycombs, because that's a davar muksa. So now, if that's really the case, there's a distinction between chashiv lehem versus not chashiv lehem. So then, adatani, from the fact that the Braisa said, u'bilvad shel yiskaven latzud, that when you cover up the honeycomb, make sure not to have intent of catching the bees. So, liflog, let's say, why didn't the Braisa have another distinction? It should say, let's say, bididei, b'med v'mamur, when is this true? When are you allowed to cover the honeycombs? Only shechishiv lehem, when you were machshiv them, that you wanted the honey for yourself. About lo chishiv lehem, but if you were not machshiv lehem, it would be usher. So why didn't the Gemara make such a distinction? That's really the distinction. So the Gemara says, halchi kamar. Af al pishi chishiv lehem, even though you may have thought about them, that you wanted to eat the honey for yourself during the winter, still there's another caveat, u'bilvad shel yiskaven latzud, so long as you have intent not to catch the bees. So that's the understanding. So again, all of this is a Rabbi Yitzchak's response of why you allowed to cover honeycomb. It's only because there's honey that's there, and even though the honey during the rainy season is only for the bees, if I had a mind for myself to eat them, that becomes a davar ochel, and for that reason I can move the tarp and cover it. But had not been for that, it would be usher, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, because the honeycomb, the nest, would be considered muksa. So now God says, wait a second. Now we have to understand the Braisa. According to this understanding of the Braisa, in Rabbi Yitzchak's world, there seems to be a stira. The Mayo Kimta, Rabbi Yehuda, Dislay Muksa. This whole conversation only can go off the ground if you hold a Rabbi Yehuda that there's Muksa. If Rabbi Shimon, there's no Muksa, there's nothing to talk about. So the starting point is, this is holding like Rabbi Yehuda that there's Muksa. Now the problem is, says the Gemara, Eima Seifa, but the continuation that says, U'bilvaj lois kavin latzurda, that so long as you don't have kavana to catch it, so then that goes asin the Rabbi Shimon. Davar Shimon is kavin mutter. Meaning in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, the two main machlokism in this discussion, whether it's muksa or not muksa, and whether Davar Shimon is kavin is mutter or asr. So Rabbi Yehuda holds of muksa, but Rabbi Yehuda also holds of Davar Shimon is kavin is asr. So who cares? Even though I don't have kavana to catch the bees, it's still asr according to Yehuda, because Davar Shimon is kavin is asr according to Yehuda. So now you have to say that the only way that if you don't have kavana, it's mutter, that's according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds Davar Shimon is aim as kavin is mutter. So this is stira. Who authored the brisa? Was it Rabbi Yehuda who holds of muksa, or was it Rabbi Shimon who holds of Davar Shimon is kavin is mutter? So Gemara says, wait a second. V'tizvara, Rabbi Shimon? This doesn't work for Rabbi Shimon? You're right, Rabbi Shimon holds Davar Shimon is kavin is mutter, but by psik resha, where the result, the outcome is inevitable, even he would agree a psik resha would be usher. The famous line, V'ha bai rav adamri tevayu, both of them hold, Modi Rabbi Shimon b'psik resha v'lo yomos, that even by psik resha he'll admit. So it doesn't go against Rabbi Shimon either, for that matter.
Meaning it's a psik ratio, exactly.
It's a psik ratio, which means that even Rabbi Huda would think it's a problem as well. I mean, it's not a question for Rabbi Shimon who laughs. So I mean, it's a question even for Rabbi Shimon. It's not an answer right now. So either way, it's a psik ratio. So bein Rabbi Huda, bein Rabbi Shimon, it should be a problem to cover up the nest. So it should be also, how could the Gemara said, oh, don't have kavana? Forget the kavana. It's a psik ratio and also according to all opinions. So Gemara says, no, really li olam kula Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda is the author of this brisa here, who holds muks as an issue. And the only reason why he could cover it up is because there's dvashir shechish valem, which is not muksa. Okay, but what does it mean about not catching them? How do you get around that problem of catching the bees? What's koi? Koi is that there are some windows. There's some windows that you're not fully trapping the bees. There's some windows openings you're not covering that they could still escape from. So since you're not creating a real trap here, it's not considered trapping. Don't say Rabbi Huda that the word should be ubavachli is kavin letzod. It's not a question of kavan anymore. Rather, what is it? And the Gemara tweaks the language on Amud Beis. It's don't make a trap. Look at the language on Amud Beis now. Eleima ubavachol yasena mitsuda. Don't make a trap. In other words, leave some windows, leave some space, leave some air holes or a place for the bees to escape. This way, there's no tzadir. Not about kavana. Kavana is not a factor for Rabbi Huda. Rather, it's don't make a trap to catch the bees. That's the understanding. Okay, a bit of an involved sugya. Gemara now says, pshita, of course. Why would you think you're allowed to? Why does the Brisa have to tell me? We know you can't catch animals on Shabbos. So why does the Brisa say, don't catch the bees on Shabbos? Of course you can't make a mitzvah of the bees on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Mal, the same, but what would you have thought? Maybe, bimino nitzod, aser, shlo bimino nitzod, mutter. There are two different categories. There are certain animals that are caught. Deer are caught. You eat deer. Those are mino nitzod. So that would be aser. There are certain animals that are not caught. Nobody catches mosquitoes. You don't catch mosquitoes. They're not a caught animal. So maybe that should be mutter. So maybe one would think that bees are mino she'eno nitzod. They're not caught. And therefore it should be mutter. Kamash Malan, that no, you're not allowed to catch bees on Shabbos. And that's what the Chiddush is. Don't catch bees on Shabbos. Now there's a question how to read this Kamash Malan. Is this telling us that bees are actually caught? They're mino nitzod. Is it deraisa by bees? Or are we saying that even though eino mino nitzod, there still is an iser midirabanan when it comes to catching bees? So that's a big discussion. Now, one second here. Fine. So there is a the Magen Avraham. There's a discussion in the postgame whether or not psik reisha. We know psik reisha is aser. When it comes to an iser deraisa, a malach deraisa, psik reisha is aser. What would the din be of a psik reisha of an iser midirabanan? Would that also be aser? So the Magen Avraham proves from here. Well, it must be aser because this is a psik reisha we just said. Catching bees is only an iser midirabanan. And since it's a midirabanan, and yet the Gemara still says psik reisha is aser, we see psik reisha is aser even by an iser midirabanan. And that goes against the Chumash Hadeshim. Chumash Hadeshim says psik reisha by an iser midirabanan is actually mutter. So they ask on the Chumash Hadeshim, how did you read this Gemara now? The Gemara clearly says that catching bees is only iser midirabanan, and yet still, if it was a psik reisha, it would be aser. So the response they say back is that no, Chumash Hadeshim thinks that catching bees is actually an iser deraisa. It's mino nitzod. There are types of bees are animals that are caught. And that's why psik reisha is also here. Because bees are an iser midiraisa. But had it been another type of case of an iser midirbanan, ein echanami, a psik reisha would be permitted. That's the understanding of the Chumash Hadeshim. Fine. Says the Gemara now three lines down. Rav Ashi Amar, mi katani b'mos hachama b'mos hagsham. Our whole discussion, we were trying to figure out, on Amud Aleph here, in the rainy season, it's certainly muksa. The honeycomb's muksa. There are no bees. There's no honey. So we have to have this okimta with the two challahs and the honey you wanted to for yourself. So Rav Ashi says, why get involved in this whole crazy okimta? The brayse above never said the rainy season or the summer season. If you were more medayik, how it was read, it says, again, mi katani b'yemosa chama u'b'yemosa gshamim. No, it says, b'chama mipnei chama u'b'gshamim mipnei gshamim. In the sun because of the heat and the sun, and the rain because of the rain. Not because of the yemosa chama, not the yemosa gshamim, but a rainy time, in a sunny time. When is that? When do you have katani b'yomei nisan b'yomei tishrei? It's referring to the months of Yom Nisan and Tishrei, whereby Dika Chama, Dika Gishamim, Dika Dvash. In other words, the times of the season where it's changing, as we know, Pesach, it could be a little chilly, it could be a little hot. Sukkot could be a little hot, it could be a little cold and red. So those 2 months where there's honey, so in, let's say, the Tammuz, doesn't rain in Tammuz, in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't rain. And so there, I guess, apparently you have to cover it up with the anyways from the sun. But talking about months of Tishrei Nisan, where it's rainy and sunny, you want to cover it up, that's allowed. But in the rainy season, Yemotzah Geshamim, Kislev Tevet Shvat, there's no honey to even speak of, and that would be off the radar. You don't have to even, you're not allowed to even talk about carrying the item to cover up the honeycomb, because that certainly is mukhs, and that's how he understands this. Fine. Gemara now says, seven lines down, the two dots, V'nosin kli tachas adlach b'shabbos. You're allowed to place a kli to catch a little drip or a leak in the house. So Tana, im nismalei a kli, let's say you have a pitcher, you have a bucket, and it gets filled up now. So what do you do? It says, shofech v'shona, empty it out and bring it back. You could continue to do this. Reino nimna, don't be concerned of extra tircha, of having to remove a pail. That's completely allowed because of the hefsid mamon of ruining the house. The Gemara then says, beirachid abayi had this little house, a little hut, that he had a rechaim in, and there was a leak, and the rechaim, his mill was getting ruined from the rain. So Dalaf was coming. It was raining into the rechaim, and also the kami, the rabbi, he went to rabbi to ask a shayla. So Amrlei, rabbi suggested do the following: Zil ailu lepuryach lahasam. So bring your bed into the beirachaim, into the house where your mill is. So there's a din, you're right, the mill, the rain was coming, it was ruining the mill. It was made of, pottery of some sort. It was getting ruined, it was smelly, it was dirty. But there's no hetzer to move it, it's moksa. So he said, move your bed into your shed, next to it. Now I want to sleep there, but I can't sleep, it's disgusting here. This rechaim is ruining it, it's falling apart, it's getting muddy. So once I make this into my bedroom, I'm allowed to move the rechaim, that's the hetzer. So if I make it into my bedroom, now the graf shari, you can move that which is disgusting, even though it's moksa. So then the Abai challenges, the Abai says, the kakashile, the chiasin graf shari lechachila? Are you allowed to put yourself in a position to make something graf shari? That's not my bedroom. I can't put my bed there in order to force myself to have a graf shari and have a heter. That's harama. How are you allowed to do that? And now nafal beirachai adahachi, while he was challenging Rabba, nafal beirachai adabai. The whole shed collapsed. The whole thing ruined, the rain collapsed, everything. It's my fault. I should have listened to Rabba right away. And because I didn't listen to him, my shed collapsed and I should have listened to him. So Lamaisa, how are you allowed to do this? You're not allowed to make a graf shari l'chachila. How could Rabba even suggest putting my bed into the little shed? So if you look at Tosa's rights, Tisili de Avri Adamar, so Afagab de Amino Le'el, even though he saw in Daf Chafalef, Dein Osen graf shari l'chachila. You cannot create a situation of graf shari l'chachila to force you to move muksa. Savrele the Rabba held, because of a hefsid mamon, there's a special heter. In general, you're right, you can't. But if there's a real hefsid meruba, there's a heter. Or, alternatively, says Tosfos, oh, mishum delo mikri lechachila kokach, this is not really called a chachila. Kamen de hashayu kshamim kvar mizalfin bebay. Since the rain started coming in, ein kokach lechachila. That was a bidyevit situation now. Bidyevit, my beirachai is getting ruined, so there's a bidyevit situation, you can create graf shari. But if there was nothing was getting ruined, maybe that would be considered lechachila, and you would not be allowed to do this. Back inside the Gemara now, Amr Shmuel says further, graf shari'i, v'abit shel meimei raglaim, if you have graf shari'i, anything disgusting, any garbage, you have a little a toilet of some sort, a movable toilet, mutil lahotzien la'ashba, you're allowed to empty it out, because that's graf shari'i, to leave a full toilet, something disgusting in the house, where I'm in my living space, I'm allowed to move it, that's a special hetter of graf shari'i. Now, can I bring it back inside, however? Machsiro, you're allowed to, when you want to return it back in, you don't want to leave the toilet outside the whole day, you want to bring it inside so someone else could use it, or whatever, or the garbage to reuse, when you bring it back in, no sin but mayim, put water back in, and machsiro, and then return it back, because if it's just a garbage can, that's a davar muksa. I put water inside, now moving it for a davar heter back inside, that would be allowed. So savar minei, graf shari agav mana in bifnei atmalo. So we see from here that you're only allowed to move a graf shari using a kli, but to hold the actual graf shari directly, that would not be allowed. Meaning tiltum atzad. If I got garbage, I can't take the garbage itself and throw it out. In a garbage can, I can move it. That's why the ovit shemer glaim, the kli holding the urine, I could carry, or the kli holding the graf shari, I could carry, but not the actual graf shari. The Gemara says not true. Even the graf shari, even the muks item itself, if it's disgusting, you can move it. To tashma, as we learn from the following, he achbarta dishtakech be asparapki de Ravashi. They found a little rodent, a mouse or a rat, in the house of Ravashi. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi told his assistants, nokti bitzuseise vafki, take it by its tail and just throw it outside. In other words, you are allowed to take them directly without having to use a kli. I had this all the time when I lived in Washington Heights. We would oftentimes catch mice in the mice traps all the time, every day on Shabbos. And sometimes you have like a mouse that had been caught, it wouldn't be dead, be like squirming around. Are you allowed to move it? And the answer is, based on the bar, you're allowed to move it. I wouldn't hold it by its tail, but you hold it by the mouse trap. We throw it down the little chute, the garbage chute, and let it go down there. But you're allowed to move graf shuri. That's considered disgusting on Shabbos. Let's finish off the daf now. The new Mishnah tells us as follows: Kol shechayavim alav mishum shvus. Anything that's subject to an isra shvus, mishum rishus, mishum mitzvah, whether it's a rishus or a mitzvah, we'll look at Rashi in just a second. B'shabbos chayavim alav b'yamtif. B'shab, that which you can't do on Shabbos, you also chayav on a yamtif. So look at Rashi just to clarify the words here. Says Rashi, Kol shechayav alav midivrei sofrim. That which is an isra midirbanim. You should not do this on Shabbos because of a certain shvus, as we'll see in the Gemara. O mishum rishus sheish bo ktas mitzvah, but or even if that thing is a need. Let's say there's a shtickle mitzvah involved, but still it involves an isra midirbanim. Aval lo mitzvah gedola. It's not a big mitzvah; it's a small mitzvah. We'll see examples. It's called a rishus. Karav hulu hios davar rishus. So it's somewhere in between. V'yesh bo isra midirbanim sofrim. Oh, mishum mitzvah. Oh, sheish b'mitzvah mamish. There's really a mamish mitzvah. Vasur chacham lasos b'shabbos, and chacham say don't do this on Shabbos. So also chay malav shelo lasos b'yamtiv. In other words, there are a number of types of shvusim on Shabbos you can't do. So some shvusim are just stam, don't do it. Some shvusim are shvusim even though there's a rishus, meaning even though there's a shtickle mitzvah there, they still said not to do it. And sometimes even though there's a mitzvah rabba, they made a shvus not to do it. Those are three categories: shvus, rishus, and mitzvah. So whatever the asa in Shabbos is asa in Yantav as well. So what are the examples? So the Mishnah goes through a whole long list. Ve'elohei mishum shvus. These are the following that have no mitzvah involved. They're just a shvus they made. What are the shvusim? Lo olam be'ilan. Don't climb a tree. Lo rochvin al gabi behema. Don't ride an animal. Lo shatvin al pneum ayim. Don't go swimming. Lo metapchin. You shouldn't clap. Lo masapkin. Don't clap on your legs. Lo marakdin. Don't dance. Those are the categories of shvusim that were asa in Shabbos and are also now asa in Yantav. Ve'ilhein mishum rishus. The following are not really rishus. They're ktas mitzvah, but they're not a full mitzvah. Lo danin, you can't do a din Torah on Shabbos. It's a ktas mitzvah. V'lo makadshin, you can't do a kedushin on Shabbos. V'lo chaltin, v'lo miyabin, you can't do chalitza yibam. Ve'ilhein mishum mitzvah. The following is a mitzvah rabba, which you can't do either because of a shvus. Lo makdishin, you can't make something hektish on Shabbos. V'lo ma'arichin, you can't do irchin. V'lo machrim, you can't do chayrim either. V'lo magmiyin, chuma ma'is, you can't separate chuma ma'isos. Kol elu b'yamtiv amru. All these were mentioned by Yomtiv and Kavachomer b'Shabbos. And if they're also in Yomtiv, certainly they're going to be also in Shabbos, which is more Machmer as well. And Ein ben Yomtiv l'Shabbos ela Ochel Nefesh b'Vad. The only difference between Shabbos and Yomtiv is with respect to Ochel Nefesh, as we know. Fine. So the Gemara's guy, I'm going to spend much of the time today and tomorrow going through why each of these are also, what was the Shus behind each one of them. So the Gemara then says, Lo Olin Bilin, why can you climb a tree on Shabbos or Yomtiv? Gzei Roshema Yidlosh, because you might end up breaking off a branch. It's a Ksir, a Kotzer. Don't ride an animal on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You might go outside the Tchum on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Shvami, no, Tchum in Deraisa. Is this assuming Tchum is a Deraisa? It's a big machlokus in the Tanaim, whether it's Deraisa. That can't really be the reason. That's only according to those who hold Tchum is Deraisa. If we hold Tchum is only Dirabanan, so Gzeira and Gzeira, we wouldn't say that. Ella, the reason why you can't ride an animal on Shabbos or Yom Tov is Gzeira Shema Yachto Chazmor. You might cut off a branch and use it to whip the animal. That's a Gzeira of an Issa Deraisa. Don't go swimming in the water. Or why not? You might make a little barrel. What's a barrel for? So look at Rashi. It sounds like a little floaty. Rashi writes here, four lines up. Kli shel guma, made of some type of material. Sheorgin, all of a sudden you weave it together. Vosin kimin chavis arucha, like a long jug. V'lamdin b'lasha, they teach you how to swim. My understanding is like a little floaty. You hold it, your hand, and you kick from the back. That's my guess. Some type of boat. You might construct a boat of some sort or a floaty, and that's why you can't go swimming on Shabbos. V'lamatapchin, v'lamasapchin, v'lamraptin, you can't clap or dance on Shabbos. Yom tiv, gzereshem, yisakin, klishir, because you might come to fix the instruments. We discussed a few days ago, Tosef, Isma, Zeb, people are not makbir on this. Even though Shulchan Aruch says one should not dance, there certainly are heterim based on that Tosfos. And then finally, we'll do two more maybe. Ve'ilehei mishum rishus, lo danan, you shouldn't judge a din Torah on Shabbos. V'ha mitzvah kavod, isn't it a great mitzvah? Why not? Gemara says, sorry, the question is, why do we call this only rishus? A din Torah is a mitzvah, it's a big mitzvah. Having bati dinim is a mitzvah. So Gemara says, lo tzicha de'ika dadif mineh. You're right. A din Torah is a mitzvah. But in respect to relative to the other ones mentioned, it's not as great a mitzvah as game, as a hektesh and marichin, and therefore we call rishus just relative to the seifa of the Mishnah.
It would still be
aser. It would still be aser. These are aser. That which is aser because of shvus, the category of Rishios, which are low-level mitzvahs, are also as well because of Shvus, and even the mitzvah categories are also also midin Shvus. Everything here is listed in our Aser. We're just putting different categories of, even though there's a Rishios need, and even though there's a mitzvah need, they still Aser them because of the Shvus. So then the Gemara, and the reason why is it also to do with Din Torah, I think Rashi writes in the Mishnah, maybe I missed it here, Rashi writes, because maybe the Gemara says tomorrow. I'm trying to look ahead 1 second. Yeah, the Gemara says tomorrow, but we'll see why tomorrow you can't do a Din Torah. For lo mekachin, you can't get married on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why not? Ha mitzvah kavod. This is a big mitzvah, so shouldn't that be docha? What's the mitzvah of getting married? So we know there's a big machlokas rishonim whether kedushin itself is a mitzvah or kedushin is a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's a hechsher mitzvah of the mitzvah peruvu. So Rashi weighs in. He says his opinion here. Look at the last Rashi on the page here. Lo mekachin ha mitzvah kavod. Shenosi isha lefaros lerabos b'may kakari le'rishus. So he asks the question as well. It's a rishus. Why? It's a mitzvah, not a rishus. But he says, what is the mitzvah of kedushin? It's puravu. Not that kedushin itself is a mitzvah, rather it leads to a mitzvah puravu. Nonetheless, why do we call it a rishus if it's really a mitzvah? The Gemara said, lo tzricha, it's only needed to tell me on Lamed Zayin now, this is a isha vanim. It's a situation where he already has a wife and children. He wants to have another wife, wants to have more children, even though it's a wonderful thing. That's not as strong as a mitzvah. If you just look at Rashi in the top line of Lamed Zayin, this like Isha Ovanim, Shnei Zacharim LeBeishamai, O Zachar LeKeva LeBeisil. Beishamai requires two boys to fulfill the mitzvah. Beisil says a boy and a girl to fulfill the mitzvah. He already has his quota. V'sulo Mifkad Kliyah, we're not required more than those to have children. Umehamia, Ktas Mitzvah, he could have more children, certainly is a shtickle mitzvah, but it's not the mitzvah rabba, that's why we call this a rishus. Let's quickly recap, it's a little bit late here, so maybe we're not going to recap. Okay, fine, everybody have a wonderful day, a good and chodesh. So,